Manx Radio's Countryside is brought to you by NFU Mutual.
Hello and welcome to Countryside here on Manx Radio. I'm Simon Clark.
And I'm Kerry Kermode. I catch up with the Ramsey Dog Club on the return home from Crofts.
Also returning home from further afield from New Zealand, where the team represent the Isle of Man at the World Championships in the shearing. And also I popped along to Balaff to find out who won the prizes at the Ramsey Nonkin District Fur and Feather Society show. Well, a busy old week, people returning from all parts of the world. We'll be hearing about the success from Crofts a little bit later in the programme, and also a bit of fur and feather, some different varieties that were on display there. But firstly, Kerry, what a performance the Isle of Man have done. The team that went over there, Daniel Creer, Philip Christian, Rose Crellin Christian, and also Hannah Moore, who went away all that distance amongst all that travel disruption and everything to take part in this and come away doing the Isle of Man proud. It's wonderful.
It really is something to be very, very proud of and to be quite novice at it as well. You know, the wool handling, I don't think we've ever had anyone take part in that in the, at any stage, let alone the world stage. So absolute hats off to them.
Yeah, well, let's find out how they got on. I spoke to Hannah, Rose, but firstly, Philip Christian, to find out his experience.
Well, Philip, well done. You're back on the Isle of Man. How was the experience this year?
Yeah, brilliant experience, Simon. It's pretty hard going, heavy work, different sheep to hear, a lot to take in and learn, new ways of doing things. But yeah, all went well and it was pretty enjoyable, to be honest.
What, just for people who may not know too much about the shearing side, what is the format? There's not just you go all the way to New Zealand and there's like one competition and that's it.
No, there's various competitions every sort of week over there. We got there like 3 weeks before the Golden Shears and World Champs and worked for 3 weeks solid, done a bit of odd days training. A fellow working for Tummer Mullins and Aria Mullins at Pee Wee Mullins Shearing Limited. They were really good, and Thomas quite a very good shearer himself and was putting us in the right direction and coming out to the sheds every day and showing us different techniques and things.
But how is there a lot of different techniques, or is it refining what you do already?
It's a bit of refining, but there is quite different too. A lot bigger sheep, the wool on their faces and the top of their heads and right out to their toenails, whereas over here they're mostly clean on the points. So, yeah.
Won't be much sand on them though, is there?
Not too bad, no. Yeah. Plenty of thistles in places, yeah.
Well, you say you went out there before the competition. Is it like paid work or experience work that you do? Because obviously you're quite an experienced shearer.
Yeah, pretty much experienced work, really. It was our main aim was just to get a feel for them type of sheep before the competition. So, yeah, it sort of covered our accommodation and things because we were staying with the people we were working for. So,
yeah. And have you known them in the past, or is it the first time you've met
them? Not really, first time I've met them, Phyllis, to be honest. Yeah.
But, of course, you weren't alone on the shearing side of it. Daniel Creer went out with you. He's not back yet.
No,
he's not on the mission list, is he?
No. He's just gone to visit a few friends. Well, cause we didn't really have time for much while we were there because, like I say, we were constantly working for the 3 weeks before the competition, then straight into a week of the competition. So
it's I think it's 28 countries, different countries that were over in New Zealand for this. That's the World Championship. But is it just a New Zealand thing, the Golden Shears?
It's a New Zealand competition. It's like their biggest competition of the year. And like some of them classes, like there was 28 countries in the World Champs, but in the, I think the open class of the Golden Shears, there was 140 shearers.
Really?
Yeah. There were massive classes like it.
But you certainly, by the looks of it, considering you travelled the other side of the world and against all these different countries, all these different shearers, I think you and Daniel come away with some pretty good results.
Yeah, we sort of finished around halfway in the rankings in the end because we shear individually, but our scores are combined in the worlds. So we've sort of come about halfway in the ranking, which we're pretty pleased with.
Yeah, and Would you head out to New Zealand again for another?
Yeah, probably would do, but money and work commitments is hold us back on that one a bit. Yeah, it's a long way to go.
Well, it's a fairly brilliant effort by you. So we'll chat to the girls now, yep. See how their trip went.
Yeah, the history makers.
Well, Phillip's called you history makers, Rose.
It was a really big thing for us, really, wasn't it, to go out there and be the first ever wool handlers to go to the World Championships. Very daunting, but I think we're both pleased we did it, and it was good fun.
Well, the other side of the world, it's not just going to your first one in the UK or maybe France or somewhere close like that. To be the other side of the world is an experience in itself. Yeah. Before you, as Phillip said, you're looking at different types of sheep and the way things are all different.
We had to really learn from, well, not totally from scratch, but obviously there's more wool on these sheep and the way they do the wool handling is very different. And it was a little bit of a baptism of fire to go in and go straight into the sheds and learn how they do it their way.
Let's talk about the final results. You got a fourth place, didn't you?
I did get a fourth place. Very unexpected. I just happened to be on form the day of the Golden Shears competition. And I was amazed, really, to get through to the semis and then even more amazed to get through to the final. So it was good. I did slightly mess up the final because it was nerve-wracking being up on stage. I think I forgot quite a few bits. But it was just a massive thing and like a really good experience to actually go out there and do it and do well.
How did you get the experience? I know you were there 3 weeks, I think, before the competitions happened. Are you trained or is it just learning from the ones you were working with?
So a bit of both, really. I think the first morning I was there, Toma, who we were staying with and who ran Pee Wee Mullins, he came out and sort of set me off. And then obviously you've got a whole group of girls in the sheds doing wool handling. And always your head rousy would sort of be there and point you in the right direction. And
what's a rousy do?
A rousy is
wake you up in the morning?
They're basically your wool handlers. And they were really good. The biggest thing was that in the sheds, because you've got sort of three or four girls, rather than doing the full fleece yourself, you would split into jobs. So you'd have one person who was in charge of sort of the boards and one person in charge of setting up the fleeces and picking up the fleeces and another person on the table. So you all sort of had an individual job for half an hour and then you'd swap and go on to the next job. So by the time we got to the Golden Shears, I hadn't actually done a complete fleece myself the whole time we'd been there. So you sort of have to sort of practice in your head the routine of what you're going to do and then just put it all together.
28 countries involved in it all. I mean, who judges it? It's not just the home nation that judges it, Philip, is it?
No, it's judges. Every team is entitled to bring a judge with them. Like, okay. So it's, yeah, there's judges from all over the world as well, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And who ended up winning?
New Zealand.
We were very lucky as well in the sheds because we had a woman called Rose Puha. And she is like the head wool handling judge. And she came out and spent sort of half an hour or an hour with Hannah and me just on one afternoon. And that was really invaluable what she taught us that day.
Brilliant. Well, Hannah, let's turn to you because you headed out, and I couldn't believe it when you said you went out there in December to New Zealand.
Yeah, so yeah, I left the island early December with a 24-hour delay due to Manx weather. And arrived there and worked for 3 months with the PMS gang. Spent 3 months in the sheds before the rest of the team joined me for the last couple of weeks, which was lovely to see some familiar faces. Just an amazing experience and learnt a lot. There's not just one way of shearing over there, and every day is different. You walk into a shed and it's different. You've got different styles of boards. So you've got closed board, open board and raised board. And then you could be shearing lambs, second shear or full wool. So
There's a lot of variety then.
Yeah, definitely.
But for you, I know that Rose and Philip went out and Daniel together. You went out on your own, which to the other side of the world must have been a daunting experience before you're even seen a sheep.
Yeah, massively for a girl who's hardly left the Isle of Man, let alone gone to the other side of the world. I don't think it really hit me until the week before I was going, what I was actually going to do, and then turn up to a company where I knew nobody, let alone the job. So it was a big learning curve, but I'm very proud I've done it, and kind of I'd like to hope that between myself and the rest of the team, we've put the Isle of Man on the Shearer map on the other side of the world.
It really is a fantastic experience, and everyone here on the Isle of Man involved, not just in agriculture, has been paying attention to how you got on and congratulated you all. I've seen all those social media and stuff. But to learn so much, I mean, are they so helpful? I mean, you did some work, a lot of work before these competitions, and was that what sort of experience was that? Was that hard work, hard, like pushing you, or emotionally hard?
Oh, it was hard in every aspect. Mm. Your alarm was about 4:30 every morning, and we were leaving the quarters about 5:15. Most days you had about an hour and a half drive before you got to the shed, and we were starting shearing by 7, and then it was done in 2-hour runs. So they were long days, probably on average about a 10-hour day if we had a full day. And I remember my first few days and being in the shed and not having a clue what I was doing and thinking, I can't last 3 months here. And it's either you have an option, don't you? You give in and go home, or you find stubbornness and determination and come through the other side. And it's just about finding the right people around you to ask the questions. And as soon as you start getting the hang of it, then you find the passion for it and the drive to just keep going. And that's where I was at. And by the end of the season, I could walk into a shed and be head rousy and just set a shed up for any kind of shearing we were doing, which, looking back, I'm very proud of myself for.
So you should be. But when you get out there, if you ranked it on a sort of 1 to 10, what your knowledge was, what you could do when you first went out there compared to now, when you, since you've come back and been in the competition, what would it be?
Oh, it's gone from a 1 to, I'd say, maybe a 10.
Yeah,
I remember the girls asking me on the first day, are you able to pick an eye clip out? And I just was like, no. And then they just gave me one job for that first hour and then just slowly introduced me to it. And then, yeah, but I kind of think it reflected when Rose and the rest of the team came out and I realised I knew what I was talking about. I knew what I was doing. And that's maybe when my confidence grew and I started doing a few more local shows, which helps massively. It's nerve-wracking to get up there, especially when they announce from the Isle of Man. Most of the people you talk to don't even have a clue where we are, let alone that we have sheep and we can shear and, yeah.
Makes it all the more worthwhile that the Isle of Man's been put on the map on that sort of side of things, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. Our team's made 3 different newspapers out in New Zealand, and we're just grateful for both the support here at home out in New Zealand that got behind us and just... yeah, wanted us to see us do well.
You had the best of the weather too, didn't you?
When it was nice, it was lovely, up to 27 degrees. When it was horrible, it just reminded me of being home here. Whilst I was there, I had 2 earthquakes and 2 big storms. The worst storm was a red weather warning, a threat to life. So that was quite an experience.
And well, it's been a fantastic experience, even just to listen to this. And Philip, it didn't go without help, though, from 1 or 2 people.
Yeah, I have to give a big shout out to all our sponsors. We had Mayo Healthcare, NFU Mutual, CMG Tipperhire, LTS Training Services, Crellin Equestrian, DJ Enterprises, Faraday Limited, Donna Grant, Van and Vets, the Manx NFU, and British Wool. Right. They're all a good help to get us out there and help us on our way.
Yeah. And what about government help?
Nothing.
It's disappointing, but but maybe this could be a sort of wake up call, because you didn't just go out there as a number. You ones, all of you, all 4 of you, have gone out there, represented the Isle of Man, and competed at the top level of the world, and that's pretty special.
Yeah, definitely. It is the World Championships, and it was an honour to be there, really. Yeah.
And we managed to bring home the first ever golden shears sash to the Isle of Man, which is quite impressive.
Is that it now for the shearing side of things, Philip, for the year?
No, we kick off here with, there's a speed shear on the, I can't remember what date that is now, the week before our one, the week before the 23rd of May in Laxey. And then there's our own competition here, the Manx International Shears at the Gilka in Andreas, which is open to the public to come and view and get a sight of what we're doing. Entries are open for that now, so there's quite a few coming in. So if you want to get in it, get entered. We've got a new class in there this year for the youngsters, the teddy bear shears.
Really?
Yeah, for the real youngsters, trying to encourage some youth into the industry. Yeah, so that's the 23rd of May at the Gilka in Andreas.
Philip Christian, Rose Crallen Christian and Hannah Moore, they are returning from the World Shearing Championships and also the New Zealand Golden Shears competition, which they took part in. Philip and Daniel Creer with the shearing, and Rose and Hannah there on the wool handling. And wow, getting to the semi-finals for Hannah, getting to the finals, and fourth place is over there for Rose. Philip and Daniel, 15th, you know, halfway in an event that features 28 countries around the world.
And it's these great. Are world standard shearers. Yes, you know, there's the some really, really famous names in that top end, and absolute hats off to them. The grit and determination that our Manxies would have had to even enter the competitions, let alone take part with that standard. Absolute phenomenal achievement.
And of course, some of them have been over there before, but like Hannah, who went over there in December on her own, amongst the disruption of the travel, which delayed her over here going there, coming there, the earthquakes, the monsoons, coming back, trying to get through Dubai with all the troubles that's going on in the morning. We're just glad they've done the Isle of Man, so proud, and put the again on the map for such a small place. You know, it's just remarkable. Well done. Well, some more congratulations are in order, Kiri, for the team, the people, the dogs who have been away in the top dog competition in the world, Crufts.
This is it. We talk about top events, and this is yet another one. You know, Crufts, it is the world's biggest show. And every year, the Isle of Man does do us proud, fielding unbelievably amongst the obedience classes and the breed classes. I caught up with the Ramsey Dog Club on the return home with their success from the obedience team. Now, Jean Young, you had a really great Crufts being a manager this year. Now, tell us all about what it means to you to be doing what your role was this year.
Oh, it was fabulous this year. I was the manager for 1 year on the Northern Ireland obedience team. And I was also the manager for our Good Citizen Display, which we have been doing for 10 years now. And that takes... So I had, on the Northern Ireland team, I had Northern Irish dogs, went over and selected some of them. And I also had some Manxies on. And one of our Manxies got a fourth place, Amy Carswell.
Well done, Amy. And, she's very nervous, doesn't want to speak to me here.
with her little Manx bred collie. And then we took 15 dogs from the Isle of Man to do a display to promote the Good Citizen Dog Scheme.
That 15, that's an incredible achievement for such a small island, Jean.
For a small island, it was brilliant. And this year we did have some youngsters on the team, which is always nice to see going up. And
as in young handlers?
Young handlers, yeah. And aww, they'd never been to Crufts before. Never even been to a dog show before, and they just absolutely smashed it out of the bag.
But this is like the biggest dog show in the world, isn't it?
The biggest dog show in the world, and to be there with your own dog is absolutely amazing. There's no feeling like it. And the Good Citizen Scheme it's a fab scheme that we promote at Ramsey Dog Club. And
what does it entail? Because obviously to have 15 dogs representing, there must be some kind of coordination with it all.
Yeah, it's a scheme run, and it's to try and... You've got different levels of the scheme. You've got a bronze, silver and gold. And it's to try and create responsible dog ownership. But because they are working towards something like their bronze award, it encourages them then to... Rather than just, oh, well, I'm going training and now my dog's trained. You go on, you get a rosette, you get a certificate, and it opens all the doors for you. And then once you've done your bronze and you've got your rosette and certificate, you'd be like, oh, well, I might work towards my silver, which is obviously a little bit harder than the gold. And then it opens up things like, well, I might put in and compete, well, compete at Crufts and put in for the team to do the display. And, you know, we had a lot of tryouts this year, and the dogs we took, they're not collies. There's very few collies on the Good Citizen team. It is about your pet dogs. It's not a competition, and they're not looking for competition. It's all about how you engage with your dog, how you're responsible enough that you would know not to take your dog off the lead around livestock, teaching a recall. Like some people with dogs, they say, oh, I never let my dog off lead. Well, that's an easy fix, because you can teach a recall, and it's just sticking with the training. That's what it is, and putting the work in with anything with dogs, you get out what you put in.
This is it. And for that said, Amy, I'll bring you in now. You went to Crufts. You had a collie dog, was it?
Yeah, I got an 8-year-old border collie.
And what work goes in behind the scenes to get the collie to that standard?
We've been competing like ever since he was like 6 months old, and we put in for the team like 5 times, I think, but never been selected until this year.
Oh my word, that's absolutely fantastic. Yeah. So what kind of effort goes in? Is it every day you've got to train with your dog?
Yeah, normally we do kind of at least like a few times a week, but probably since October last year, we were just doing it every day.
Oh my word. And like, what was expected of the two of you?
So he was in the C class, so that's the top class.
Go in at the top, why don't you?
she absolutely went in at the top, yeah.
So he's got to do heel work, a send away, and then he's got to do a scent and find someone else's scent.
Oh, wow. And how do you teach this? Like, it's incredible. I know collies are naturally a little bit more intelligent, or so they say, but is it...
Well, he started in novice, so just kind of as you go up through the classes, it gets, like, harder, as you go on.
And is it that communication between the two of you that actually just bring out that diamond in the end?
Yeah, like, it was, for me, it was just trying to keep, like, calm and smooth.
Were you nervous?
Yeah, Jean's been shouting at me for, like, 4 months.
That doesn't surprise me at all.
For, like, the past 4 months, but I think on the day we finally did.
That is fantastic. And what did it feel like to be there in that fourth place?
Yeah, it was ace. I didn't think you'd actually do that, to be fair.
Oh.
Just the people we were against, like, they've all sort of been doing it a lot longer than we have, and so, but yeah, just try to stay calm and do what we've been doing in training.
Excellent. No, that is absolutely, well, fantastic, isn't it? What a result, Jean. You must be very proud.
Oh, so proud, because for us as an island, we don't get off. For us to go to a dog show, it's the cost, whereas the people in the UK, they're week in, week out going to dog shows. So the people that Amy was competing at, they do it every week. So their dogs are more acclimatised to the environment. And plus, once you get to the more advanced classes in obedience, once Amy sets off in heel work, she can't actually talk to the dog at all until the end of it. So, and give him any extra commands, the same. And like the advanced sit, stand and down, it's, your dog's 15 paces away, you're telling it sit, stand down, with minimal commands. You know, that's the only commands. And the scent, they have to find the judge's scent. Well, you only see the judge on the day. She hands you the cloth, and then the dog has to go out in such an environment with, like, air conditioning. It is really hard at Crufts because the air conditioning is thing, and do that. And Joey just... I mean, for, like Amy says, for the last 4 months, I'm like, slow down, speed up. And then on the day, it was just like, it all clicked, and she did a beautiful round.
And
absolutely beautiful.
To watch that sideline, yeah, that must have been a real heart stopper.
It was fab. It was fab. They've put the work in, and like I said, you get out what you put in with dogs, and I don't think anyone could have put more into their training than Amy. You know, she really did do well. She wanted it, and when you want something, you know, it's... She did do really, really well, so very proud. And he's Manx born and bred, so we're keeping it on the island.
Yes. And talking about youngsters, Vorihorn, I know that your trip with a very, very special young lady this year, but only a baby herself, Nuggy. Tell us all about her.
Little Nuggy, yeah. So she's only 14 months old, my little golden retriever. And first Crufts, and she just... was amazing.
Really?
Yeah, so we went as part of the Good Citizen Gold Display team on the Thursday, so she took part in that. So There was like loads of crowds. We did the Canine Traitors, which was a real crowd puller, and she just didn't put a paw wrong.
But imagine being so young and in that huge arena, the atmosphere, the green carpet. It's so out of character from what she's used to at home on the farm.
It is, but it is Nuggy, so she just does it. You know, she doesn't really, you know, matter where it is, she just loves life. So on the farm, at Crufts, in the ring, she just tail wagging, going for it.
And like you say, she's a golden retriever. And I've known you to have border collies in the past and you've been there before. What's it like to have a different breed this time?
Totally different. Totally different. So yeah, I did have a border collie, Isla, who was phenomenal. Didn't really need to train her. She trained herself. Then I've got Nuggy, who is a completely different kettle of fish and really needs the work put into her, which, as you know, living on a farm yourself, it's she has to pick between chasing sheep or doing heel work, and you can imagine which one she prefers to do. So, yeah.
And for again, will it be something you'll be putting in the calendar?
Crufts next year. Well, I'll go for the tryouts, and provided she doesn't do anything in Nuggy's world, she hopefully might get to go back.
And what does it feel like as a competitor to be in that arena?
Terrifying. So the display team, that's a real team effort, camaraderie. There's loads of, like, you know, we just go and have fun. The interregional, it is a competition. We're up against, well, in Nuggy's class, she was working novice, so we were up against 13 other dogs from 7 different regions. She was the youngest, and
that is unreal, isn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah, so it was a big step up for her, but she did everything. She took it all in her stride, and you know, her tail never stopped the whole way around. So,
and that's what it's about, isn't it? It's the enjoyment. Yeah. You can't take that from it, because they're animals at the end of the day. They're obviously doing what they can to please their owner, as they always do. But, you know, they do have mishaps. They can be rascals.
Oh, yeah, no, absolutely. Like, that's part of the fun of the dog training. It's they're not robots, and you can put the work in all year round. And if in a typical Goldie, my worst fear was she was going to go in there and get the zoomies. She didn't. Thank goodness she didn't. She did everything. But I was fully expecting to look down and her not be anywhere near me and doing her zoomies round the ring. Yeah.
Well, congratulations, Vari. I'm sure next year, yeah, I'm sure things will go even better. But going back to you, Jean, what does it mean back home to represent the Isle of Man with obviously standing at the sidelines, seeing all the work? I mean, you've been with Ramsey Dog Club now for over a decade.
Double that. really good. It's I love doing the Northern Ireland interregionals manager. I really enjoyed that, but my heart is with my good display team. I've done 10 years at Crufts there, and hopefully we get asked back next year. But that's where my, like, training them and training people that have got a dog, they've come to club for training and then ended up on the green carpet, is, you know, to watch their faces, you know, is just amazing, because they really put the work in, because they want to do it. They're not just we do get pet people who come along and they'll do the course and then you don't see them again. When they've got something to work towards, like Crufts, they really do put the effort in, and they proved that this year. You know, we did scenes with the British Horse Society as well and the Farmers Union. So we did scenes with them and showing a dog how not to behave around livestock and horses, and then showing how you would expect to. And hopefully if it then people watch it and be like, oh, my dog does that, maybe I could do the scheme and I could get help with that, you know, because, I mean, let's face it, dogs do like to chase sheep, don't they? It's a natural thing. But, you know, if we can help one person at least get a recall, you know, then we've done our job.
And that is it. And I'm going to go around to Lisa. So, Lisa, what does it mean to you to head out to Crufts to Birmingham, going through those big doors?
Oh, it's been really good. And this year I was helping Jean with the Good Citizen team, and I had some of the young handlers. And that was really nice. It's really good to see the young ones there. You know, it is, as Jean said, it's really lovely to see the look on their face. Oh, it's really good.
And do you think young people are getting more into dogs and understanding, you know, what the responsibilities are of keeping pets?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, they come and then they see what we're doing at club. And some... We've had you know, they've come with their parents and then they get a dog as they get a little bit older. And, yeah, they can see where we're going with it and they enjoy it. And then, yeah, it's nice when they come back, keep coming back.
And do the classes on the island, are they growing in, you know, in numbers? You know, people are wanting to get some discipline. They want to keep pets, but sometimes it's the fear of, like Jean says, them running off after livestock. Do you think people are thinking, well, take them to the puppy class and get some order?
Definitely. I mean, the puppy classes are usually always busy because people get their puppy, they're dead excited and they come to training. It's keeping them then. And I think that's where the good citizen classes help, because then they, as Jean said, they want to move on to bronze. And this time we've just finished a course and we're starting another one. And the classes were absolutely packed. I mean, the hall was absolutely packed, which is really nice to see people coming back.
And how do you people get in touch or involved with the classes, Lisa?
Well, they can just message the club's Facebook page and it'll be picked up. And then we put adverts out on that when the next block is, and they can just join up from there.
And is it first come, first serve? Because it sounds like they're super busy.
It's not at the minute. We can keep taking people, but yeah, they are busy at the moment. So yeah, I'd get in if you've got a new dog.
And what is the favourite part of Crufts for you?
It's just the atmosphere. It's just another level. It's just totally different. And I think the Good Citizen display, it's been a real team this year and it's been lovely. Everybody's really got on, everybody's helped each other, and that's been the nicest part, I think, this year.
And do you think it will encourage more people to get involved for next time when they see their pals on social media and in the paper for being so successful?
I hope so, because we've had a real influx on Facebook, you know, and I think hopefully it does, they can see, well, they've done it and, you know, can I do it?
And the thing that I was quite surprised with was how you always think of dog shows as being maybe border collies, a bit more intelligent or sensible, so we're led to believe. But there's lots of different mixed breeds as well.
Yeah, we've had lots of different breeds in the Good Citizen. So we've got the Golden Retrievers, we've got Spaniels, we've got a Husky. You know, it's not just collies. Yeah, any dog can do it.
And I think that's probably a bit of a traditionally it would always be the collies that are seen to be taken to the green carpet, but it's nice to see that other dogs are more than capable.
They're definitely capable. As you say, I think people just see a collie and think, oh yeah, it'll do it, but other breeds can do it. You just have to put the work in.
Like Lisa said, don't be put off about doing the Good Citizen scheme and hopefully getting your dog to Crufts. We also run the special pre-beginner stakes, which, as long as you've got your bronze level Good Citizen Award, the qualifier for Crufts for that will be at the Southern Agricultural Show. So it's worth coming to training and trying training up for that, because if you win at that, then that's your ticket to Crufts. Oh, wow. So that'll be held at the Southern Agricultural. And it's, like I say, it's not... The Good Citizen isn't competition. It's about engaging with your dog. If your dog did go wrong in the round, it's how you correct it. And rather than, oh, I've gone wrong, that's it, finished. You know, it's about being responsible. It's about the partnership between you and your dog. It's not so much of treat on end nose and my dog's follow. It's the teamwork. It's building a bond. And any dog can do it. Any dog, you know, as long as you put the work in. Hopefully this year at the Southern we'll have lots of different breeds and lots of young people doing it, because they do run a young kennel club as well. So it's nice to see the young ones coming up and taking part in the sport and with their family pets as well.
And that's what it's at the end of the day. Yeah. These are pets.
They are family pets. They're, first of all, a lot of the kids that come to club, that it's been bought the family pet as the family pet for all of them. And it's nice to see when the kids start taking, oh, well, I can do this and I've got a certificate, and then going on more for it. I mean, we start right down at the puppy foundation level and build them up, hopefully, to gold.
And we talk about puppies at the starting point, but what happens if somebody's got an older dog? Is it too late to train them?
No, absolutely not. If you've got an older dog, you can always start at the bronze level. And just, it is about the partnership. It's being responsible for your dog, engaging with your dog, knowing what to do, when to reward, building that teamwork, and hopefully then, if you want, going on and competing.
And at the Ramsey Dog Club, do you have people that will guide and support?
Yes.
Yeah, like on Thursday, we run our classes on a Thursday. This Thursday, we started a new block and it was manic. So it was a case of all hands on deck and everybody, all the committee and the trainers, nobody's left to be just struggle. You know, it's if you see someone struggle, somebody on the more advanced classes, they will jump in and take one to one. So nobody struggles. And we say to them, even if they've had a first bad class, because the dogs come into that environment and they're not used to it, and a lot of dogs will bark, and we say, don't give up, see how it goes. And we did a lot of one-to-one training this week, but hopefully next week they'll move into the groups. You know,
it's all new for them
as
well.
It's all new for them, and it's all new for the dogs. And halls are echoey, so it's echoey. The dogs are barking, but you know, they all try. As long as they try hard, it's all about the teamwork. That's what we're looking for.
There we go. That was Jean Young, the manager, Lisa Walker, the assistant manager, Amy Carswell, the prize winner, and Vori Horn, who took a junior away to them big green mats.
Yeah, it's incredible, even when you see it on the TV and things like that, and you go, wow, again, part of the big stage for such a small place like ours.
This is it. They had so much enjoyment and they just thrive to go back year after year. But for Amy coming away there with a rosette after a number of years of trying to get into the team but being knocked back, but she never gave up. Absolute full credit to them. 15 members went to compete at Crufts, and they say it's absolutely terrifying going through those archways, but we're all very proud of them.
Yeah, well done. You're listening to Countryside here on Manx Radio with Kiri Kermode and myself, Simon Clark. Well, our final piece today comes from Balaff. I went along to the Ramsey Nonken District Fur and Feather Society's show, which was at the bowling club in Balaff. I went along, seen ducks, cats, rabbits, birds, fowls, bantams, everything was on display. A great turnout. I spoke to some of the people who took away an array of cups on the day. Firstly, young Lucy Radcliffe. You've got most of the cups from the show. Well done.
Yeah.
What have you, what prizes have you won? What are them cups for? Best in show first.
Best in show overall for the cat. And then best in cat section. And then best Manx cat. And then best Manx kitten.
Brilliant. I mean, have you won prizes at these events before?
No, this is my first event.
Is it?
Yeah.
Well, that make it even more special to come away with that big cup there.
Yeah.
So tell us a bit about your cat then that's won all of these prizes.
So she's a farm cat, so she's not used to being shut in a cage. And we got her about 10 months ago, so she's only quite young. And she's just always been special because she's the only Manx one that we have.
Yeah, and a tabby pullered one as well.
Yeah.
And what's the name?
Lily.
Lily. Yeah. And how much looking after? Is it a she? Yeah.
Yeah, it's
a girl. She take much looking after, or does she sort of stay out in the farm quite a bit?
Well, she just stays on the farm all the time. We just feed her, and then she seems to look after herself pretty well.
So, but you still, looks quite clean and representable, obviously, for even the judges have caught their eye. So what preparation did you have to do once you've got her in the cage?
So all we did was we combed her, fur, and then that was about it. She just keeps herself nice and tidy. And then I just keep her calm and stroke her, and she's all right.
Yeah. Nice friendly cat, Lily?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Well, it's brilliant, your first event, and you've come away with all these cups. It's a fantastic day. Are you ready to enter more?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, royal shows?
Not that step yet.
Yeah, but well done today.
Thank you.
Well, Sylvia Yarker, you've got an array of cups and prizes here as well. It's been a good day by the looks of it.
It has, yes. Very surprised, actually, because my flock is just a backyard one. I haven't got a huge amount of birds, and I've got lots of different varieties. I don't specialise in any breed. So, yes, I was really surprised.
So how many different breeds do you have?
I think I have about 16 at the moment.
Right.
But I only have a total of 29 in the whole flock. So I just like them. I collect them I want one of those, one of those, one of those. So I've just got lots of all sorts of different types of breeds.
I suppose that keeps the interest in looking at the different types instead of
just one, is it?
Well, it does. It's also because I just can't make my mind up which breed I like best, and I just like one of everything.
So this is a bonus, really, that the fact that you love showing them, you love looking after the different breeds, and to come away with all these prizes today, it's been a fantastic day for you.
Yes, it has, and as I said, it's a complete surprise to me because I know that lots of the other competitors specialise in breeds and keep vast numbers of the same breed, but I just have a few and I keep them in the garden. They're not locked up in pens, they're just run around all together and that, so yes, a very surprising and pleasing result.
And what's been the special one today? Talk us about that one who's won the big prize. Yeah.
Well, actually, she is one that we hatched at home.
What breed is that?
She's a Barbu d'Anvers. She's a quail Barbu d'Anvers. And I brought her parent back, the parent bird back over from Northern Ireland. And she just, because she'd been in a breeding pen, I just put the hens under the eggs under a broody. And I got these three that hatched out, and two of them are first and second. So an amazing result.
Well, well done.
Thank you very much.
Well, winner of the Cagebird section, John Keenan, been a good day for you.
Very good, Simon. Yeah. Very pleased with it. Yeah. Very pleased with the venue too.
Yeah?
Yeah.
There's a mighty turnout.
Very good, Simon. Very good.
Yeah.
And the Cagebirds, lots of Cagebirds in.
Yeah. Is that different to the shows that have been off recent years? Has there been a bit scarce?
Well, with this bird flu, I thought it might have been very poor, but we had a very good entry today. Very good.
And it's one of them things that there's young and old there, of course, and everyone has their favourites. Some like the ducks, some like the hens, there's cats in there. But the cage bird section, and yours in particular, the kids just stand and look at them in amazement with the colours, I suppose,
that's what attracts them, is the colours. Yeah, unbelievable, the colours. Yeah.
Are the colours in that breed? I remember somebody saying once that, you know, sometimes it can be what the birds eat when they're growing up.
No, really. The only colour that would eat is the red tractor canary, and they get colour fed.
Oh, right.
All the rest are natural. Like the little Gouldians and all. The feather line is so straight, you know, and the different colours is absolutely magic. Like, yeah.
And when you've got the parents, because obviously you breed them as well at home, are they always the same colour that the offspring?
No.
Right.
No. You can put two different colour budgies together and get totally different colour
budgies. Really?
Yeah. So it doesn't necessarily come from that it's a true parent.
So it's always a surprise.
Yes. It's nice to look, see what you got, Simon.
Yeah. So how many did you have in the show today?
33. Sorry.
Really? Gosh. Yeah. I suppose they don't take up much space, though.
No, but they take a lot of time to get ready.
And what do you have to do to look after them, John? I know you must have an aviary at home and everything that you're looking after them. Is it constant attention?
You ask, Roddy. All the time, Simon, you got to be out there. Yeah, you're watching and cleaning and seeing what they're doing. Trying to pick your pairs to see which will go with which. Yeah, so...
Is it hard to keep them apart? Because obviously they're natural curiosity.
No, but we have the cages with the partitions in the middle, so you can split them up. Yeah.
And then when you think there's two good birds there, you can put them together.
Yeah.
Well, obviously it's working. Yeah,
it's working. Very good, Simon.
Yeah, well done today. Right.
Thanks, Simon. Thanks, bye.
Well, John Quayle spoke to you a while ago about the fur and feather, and here you are displaying again.
Yes. I've done well today on the hard feather, All English Game Bantams. So champion in that section, so champion trio. So I'm very pleased.
Yeah?
Yeah, it's about the, 70th show or something, so I'm not doing so bad.
70th something, wow.
I started from 1956, the show at this show. So, yeah, it's about 70 years, 60, 70 years. Yeah.
But looking around here at this venue in Balaff, you know, people were a little bit worried that there may not be many entries and many turning up, but it's been far from that. It's been a great success, John, hasn't it?
It has. It's a lot more entries than we expected, actually, because we were supposed to have a show in late October, early November, but then this bird flu scare came in, then we were going to have one in February, and that was still sort of a scare. And then we decided to go ahead and see what happens. And here today, this hall is full, Black Bull and Club Hall, and there's good entries. in the poultry and cage birds, not maybe so many in the cats or the rabbits, but they have gone down. But the rest, it's been very, very good. So we're very pleased, and we've had a lot of people here. Particularly, I noticed from Balaf, the local people have attended, because I know a lot of them have been former clerks to the Balaf commissioners, and I knew a lot that lives in the village in Balaf, and there's been a lot of faces here that I haven't saw for a few years, but they've turned up today to support.
Yeah. And obviously you've had more than one bird on display today.
I had 16 altogether.
16. Yeah. But did the ones that you think would win take the honours?
I didn't think I was going to win with what I did win, because there was good opposition in some of the sections, and in my section there was one or two good birds there. But I came out on top for once.
And what was the name of the ones that took your championship book?
Mine was a black red Wheaton, female, which is the colour of chaff, really, supposed to be. So that was the champion in what the hard feather, which is a bantam hole English game. And then I won a trio with two of those, and the cock is what we call black red. And they put them together, that's what you'll get. Get black reds, Wheatons, and then you get the Wheaton females. So I've done all right.
Well done.
Yeah, thank you.
Some of the prize winners on the day at the Ramsey and Onken District Fur and Feather Society show in Balaf at the weekend. John Quayle with his bantams there, showing for 70 years, Kiri.
Wow, that's phenomenal.
John Keenan with the cage birds there. There's just the fantastic variety of colours that was there too. Sylvia Yarker took away a lot of the cups as well. And Lucy Radcliffe winning with the Manx cat.
Oh,
so,
wow.
It's just brilliant to see all them prize winners. Such a variety and a great turnout as well. And well done to everybody who attended and took part to make that a very successful show.
And it's been missing, I suppose, with the avian flu this last while as well. It's been hard to put the shows on. So full credit to the committee that having to postpone or cancel or reschedule. It's great for the island to get to these events and just see what... The Isle of Man has got such competitive people. Our whole programme talks about competition this week and just flying that flag and being so proud of what they do.
Yes. Anyway, that's it. It's all we've got time to squeeze into Countryside. We're back next week with our look back at this week's 2026 annual Young Farmers Concert. So that'll be our concentration on next week's programme. Until then, from me, Simon Clark.
I'm me, Kerry Kermode.
See you then. Ta-da.
Bye-bye.